to A Jungian and a Witch podcast. I'm your co-host, Molly, the queen behind Queen of Cups Apothecary and your resident witch. This is my dad, Steve, a Jungian analyst with over 30 years experience, a master's in divinity, and a myth expert. Join us as I get the Jungian perspective on a wide range of witchy topics. Welcome back to another episode. Today, Dad and I will be talking about individuation. This is a concept that we've talked about before, but I thought it needed its whole own episode. Individuation is the process by which we become individuals, and Dad knows a lot more about that process than I do, so I'll let him explain. I hope you enjoy our conversation. All right, Dad, we're here again, another week, another episode, and this week we're going to talk about something that we've hit on before, but I think it deserves its own whole episode, and today I want to talk about individuation.
Oh, the big one.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about what it is and what the process is, and if there's are there steps? Do we all go through it the same way? Or do we all go through it different ways? Is there ways that we can work with it and help the process along? Just had a really big new moon in Taurus. In the witch's circle, we do these cycles with the moon. So the new moon cycle, it's the starting things and we're planting seeds. And then we get to the full moon and that's sort of the pinnacle point, and then we reassess and we rest and we do the cycle again. And I'm wondering if their individuation is kind of that same thing, because we're learning it and we're processing things and we're integrating things and then going in circles. I know progress isn't a straight line, right? It's a spiral, right? So we're not necessarily going from A to B. It's this big spiral. And I'm wondering if we can make some links for the witch community here.
That's complicated. I'm just thinking there's an analyst named Edward Edinger that talks about the cycle of inflation and deflation.
That makes sense.
Of the ego as a part of the journey of individuation. So that probably tracks pretty well, because it's through the cycle is when a person grows.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's pain and suffering, right? It's that's the growth, because the deflation is in general a little unpleasant to go through. But then that's the growth, right?
Yeah. And the, can't be comfortable when you're growing.
The integration of the things that happen to deflate you like that, integrate, and then like the tide. Now the tide is ready to turn, and then you get inflated again and back and forth and back and forth. But each time through the cycle, there's a deepening and a growth.
Right.
So maybe that is actually, you know.
Yeah, it sounds pretty similar.
But like you said, I mean, in terms of everybody going through it in the same way, I mean, it wouldn't be individuation.
Right.
If it was the same for everybody, it's
true.
By definition, completely unique and individual.
But which is there like a common thread, I guess?
Which is what makes it hard to generalize.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It would be tough.
A little concerned about what people on the internet say about individuation.
So I did look it up, and again, there's just the only thing that had any, and that I saw that word individuation at all, was that there's this one guy on TikTok. He's a younger guy, and he's trying to do a good job.
Like I say, that one guy.
Yeah. Next time we're together, I'll show you his TikTok, because I'm interested in your thoughts. But he explained it as, you know, the sort of similar, and that's where I got this idea of it being really similar to the moon cycles, about how it's this ongoing process, and we have ups and we have downs, and you know, the end goal is to become ourselves, But he has said this also, this other part about how, you know, if we get too far away from our individuation track, that life like pushes us back into our individuation track. And he kind of hinted at that there was some kind of higher intelligence that was keeping us on a specific track. And so I was also curious about if that was really from Jung, if he was putting his own slant on that.
The higher intelligence would be the concept of the self, as we talked about, I think, in one episode. Let's give the guy his due. That's decent, not terrible. So that's helpful.
Good for him.
That's helpful. I mean, it feels like individuation is a word everybody knows, even if they don't know what it means, but they've heard the term.
Well,
And
I would hope so.
Jung sort of revitalized the word individuation. He didn't exactly invent it, because there is a way in which it was a term in biology, up your alley, in the sense of the tendency in biology of a thing to become itself. The famous example is the acorn and the oak tree. That, an acorn does not become a maple tree.
It doesn't come a pine tree.
It
It doesn't
becomes
become a salamander.
an oak tree, and that's a form, a very primitive form of individuation, right? Is that the tendency of a thing to become. So it's in that way, it's sort of the genetic unfolding of the oak tree, right? So, in that sort of natural individuation way of looking at it, you would say that all of us are acorns. And in this process, that is a completely natural process of just unfolding what is already there through growth, like a tree, over a lifespan, like over a very long period of time. But the oak tree will become the oak tree. I mean, it's a natural, completely natural process. So Jung calls that the urge to individuation
Okay, the urge.
as a natural process. As well, urge is in the sense it's instinctual, and it is not the ego. The ego's pretending. Again, all this ego pretending is like, oh, I'm going to individuate now,
I'm
right?
going to be an oak tree now.
And so I'm going to wear these clothes that nobody else wears, and I'm going to do these things that nobody else does. And then you see how individual I am now. I am individual and unique, and that's just a little like middle school, basically.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's like
Pretentious.
I am being, an individual, and really being different than my parents, because I'm all goth now, and that makes me individual, like all my other friends who are goth. We all dress the same, and like, okay.
We all go to Hot Topic and buy the same clothes.
And the same hair dye.
Hey, mine's blue and hers is green. Okay, we're
We're
different.
different. So that's not quite what individuation is, right? Mostly because that's the ego trying to do something. Again, this natural, it's the natural process way underneath the ego. So that's the urge to individuation. And then before we really get to the Jungian, I mean, that I do have to say, Jung's term was picked up by psychology and is used in other areas of psychology now. Except that what they mean is individuation in psychology is the process of separating from your parents.
Oh, so they have it very specific then.
So that individuation is a thing teenagers do.
It's not like a lifelong process.
And college kids do, right? And then there's a way in which, well, that, I mean, as far as that goes, which is not very far, but I mean, that's true. Like, that's true too, right? I mean, that
It just seems more limited.
It is.
It's like, oh, like you can be done with it. Like, oh, you're an adult now. You're done with your individuation process. And not like the lifelong thing, like it seems to be to me.
I mean, but you'd have to say how many people really achieved that, even that small piece. You say, well, are you really differentiated from your parents? Like,
And that's when you hit that like 30 years old and you're like, I am so like my mom, or I am so like my dad, and you realize that you're like the same person. I really am like them.
and you kind of are back to the DNA and the
Right.
unfolding, but how far do you have to go, right?
How far does the acorn have to get from the tree, right?
To from the big mama tree.
Right, exactly.
Like,
Because hopefully that squirrel takes you real far before it buries you.
exactly, like very far away.
My own tree, damn
And when I say, you
it.
know, to differentiate, so I would say differentiate yourself from the parents, not individuate from your
Right.
parents. But
That makes sense.
that, I mean, it's not only, you know, the habits and the way of being just like your parents, or rejecting that and not just like your parents, but think about it. I mean, your parents' worldview, your parents' understanding of life, your parents' religion. Let us say,
Right.
the mythology of your childhood that you grew up with, do you differentiate from that? Or you're just like, well, you know, my parents were Catholics and I'm Catholic,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
So the differentiation would be stuff like that. So again, this is at the very small scale.
I see that.
But it's getting in the ballpark. I mean, I did write a book about this, you know. So,
Which book is about this?
all right, this is the book Confessions of an Introvert,
Right. Okay.
and the individuation is in the subtitle, which is The Solitary Path to Emotional Maturity.
I guess I didn't realize that was the subtitle.
And then there's so
That's funny.
the solitary path, that's individuation,
Introvert, yes, definitely.
and then maturity is one idea of thinking about what individuation means and the growth process. It is like, as you go through the life cycle, are you becoming more mature?
What we hope, right?
Well, that's we hope. And then, you know, the book has to wrestle with what does that even mean? Like, what is maturity? What is maturity? That's okay. Well, I think maturity is in the long run the ego's integration of larger and larger things. Right? That I always use the 10 years, right? It's like,
Right.
do I understand more about life than I understood 10 years ago? You know, have I grown? Have I changed? Do I have new insights that I just couldn't see it 10 years ago? And now I can. And now I can. In fact, I not only see it, I understand it. And I not only understand it, I've integrated it into my life as living. Well, that's something that would be like maturity, or more. Again, the whole scale is, well, that's 10 years. It's that kind of step.
It takes a long time.
Is there more maturity? Will I be more mature 10 years from now than I am today? I always tell people, like, and the answer with that is, well, so what is with that? Why can't I see things that I'll understand in 10 years? Why can't I see them now? You know, why can't I understand those things now? Why can't I integrate those things now? Why do I have to wait 10 years?
As every 18-year-old says, basically. Well,
And
that's
the
tough because it takes experience, right? Like you have to go through things to be able to understand them, and you just don't have time to go through them all
That's
by the
right.
time you're 18.
Or 28 or 38
Yeah,
or 4 or
exactly.
48 or 58 or 68. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I
It's
mean, most
like
18-year-olds don't know how to be parents or be a married person, and some do, but not all. And then you get to 28, and then more of your friends are married, and more of your friends have kids, and they've been through those kind of things. But none of us at 28, pretty sure, should know how to be a grandparent. That's for sure. We're still learning about careers, and that whole concept is just
yeah.
changing
Well,
completely for us, my
let's think about
generation.
the big stuff too. Like, you don't know what it's like to be seriously ill. Haven't had that experience or had someone in your life go through something like that, much less death.
But by the time you're 28, 38, you've probably known somebody, right?
48, right? So that's part of it, right? Is that all of these experiences and the ones that are growth are painful. In the, but why are they painful? Why is it painful when somebody gets cancer? Why is it painful when somebody dies? And I don't mean to be dismissive of personal feelings. I mean, it hurts. It really hurts.
Yeah, it does. Of course.
But it's really hard to get to the place. That's all a part of life. That's what life is. That's how life works.
Right, we all die. It
I
takes time.
or serious illnesses or all the other things. It's like it feels new to me, but it isn't new at all. It's only new to you because you have been immature.
Because you haven't been through it before.
You haven't been through it before, and so a little bit, the aging process is a bit of, it gives more context. Like the more experiences you have, the more you can understand the context in which all of this is happening, which is the life process itself. And
That makes
so
sense.
it's also a bit of maybe the witch community feels this. It's all a part of nature.
Oh, well, yeah.
And so there are certain egos, let's say, when something happens, something bad, quote, ha happens,
Quote, yeah.
that reject it, resist it. Oh, this is bad. Why did this happen to me? This can't be happening. This can't be happening. Right?
Just totally dismissive of
Yeah, that's an immature ego.
it.
To feel affronted by life. It's
But
itself.
yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, I know that you don't like it and that it's very painful to you. Yeah, that's what life is like.
Well, but yeah, it happens. It's just part of life. Yeah, it
And
definitely takes time to realize that.
so that's nature. And so there's, it calls for an attitude of acceptance.
Yeah, I would say that that's definitely in line with the witch community in general. Not all witches, I think, but those of us that follow more of a naturalistic path for sure are more aware of the fact that there's death is just part of life.
And illness, and
And well, yeah,
illness
all of that.
and turmoil and relationship problems and again, so see, and this thing with the oak tree is that insofar as all that's part of nature, part of life, it is not unique.
It's
So
special and wonderful, but also not unique at the same time.
because everybody goes through it eventually. So w when I was writing the book, I was trying to find really commonplace examples of individuation instead of the very highly specialized things that Jungians talk about. So in the first chapter of the book, I have to talk about it. If I'm trying to explain individuation to you, I would have to tell you about a case, a single case of a person who was in the individuation process that would be about 40 years,
Okay. All right.
or at least 30 years. to see the growth from where it started and in the middle and then where this person is today. It's the only way to see it within one individual life. That's where the individual part comes in, and to see the individual things in one person's life. I have a few cases that are 30 years plus, in fact, but I didn't. I ended up, I couldn't use somebody else's life as an
So you
example
used yours,
in
right?
a book, so I had to end up using mine, yes, which is not something I wanted to do, actually. That would be my advice to all your listeners. Never write an autobiography.
It's too personal,
It's really personal and really painful.
I can imagine.
Unless you own it, you can really own it. What happens is that, I mean, what does this mean to become yourself? I mean, again, you're the acorn. You've been yourself from the first day. And it is true. And then you get away from yourself, and then you have to come back to yourself. And that there is a way socially, other kinds of influences that in fact push you not to be yourself, or that it feels embarrassing to be yourself, or it feels not socially accepted to be yourself. And so that is the thing that pushes people off the path, right? Is that, oh, I can't do that. And then a little bit aging and the maturation process is, it does help. You get all old enough, you don't care anymore. I don't care what people think.
It's always nice to get to that point.
That helps. So that, like, an individuated person is a real character. See, that's part of what individuation is. When you become yourself uniquely, you're a character. And it shows, like, other people can tell your uniqueness, and they may like it and they may not like it, and who cares, but that you become a character,
There's an authenticity about it, I think.
a total openness to authenticity, of embracing, and it is a bit your own inner subjective meaning and values, regardless of other people's values, or regardless of other people's meetings, and regardless of what's important to other people's, like, yeah, that's not important to me. You know, what's important to me is writing. You know, writing books that no one ever reads.
Some people read them. We're
There,
trying to work on that, listeners.
I know
Read Dad's
very
books.
few. So no, I was adding up when I finished this latest book we're working on. So I've written 13 books since 1980, utterly without success. And I pu published eight. And in that way, see, this whole life and all the decades has been a failure.
Oh,
Yeah.
but it means something to you,
There
right?
you
Isn't
go.
that the point?
In the outer world, right. To
As like
me,
a to a publisher.
yes, to me, it's the most important thing. One aspect of individuation, Jung calls the opus,
Opus.
which is just the Latin word for work.
Oh, for work.
But you've heard of, our artists, like a musical opus, right? Right? I mean,
I've
Mozart,
heard the word before.
Mahler, Beethoven. An opus is an artist. I mean, the basic meaning is an artistic product. I mean, it doesn't have to be music, like a symphony. It can be a novel.
Novel, a
It can be a
painting.
painting. Whatever your own, again, unique personal medium is, where your creativity, which is an aspect of your individuality, expresses itself. So, like the opus for the artist, and I talk about this in the opus chapter in that book, which is that the opus and the artist are one. The work is the artist, and the artist is the work, in the sense, right? It's like, let's take Gustav Mahler, the late romantic composer.
Okay.
Everybody, get into classical music, please. You know, it is wonderful. And sure, there's a few things to learn, but once you learn it, it's, and I'm always been particularly drawn to Mahler. So there's a thing where it's a particular sound, it's a particular style, and that's true of every artist. So
Right.
you pick a modern artist
Sure.
who has their own unique sound and their own style, and you know immediately that it's
That's
Taylor
them.
Swift. It's Taylor Swift. Like
Sure, yeah.
the style is so distinctive and individual. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That so that's the work, the song.
Okay.
But the identity is that style is Taylor Swift. The work
Right.
is the artist, and the artist is the work because that is her meaning. That is her subjective value, is to do this
Right.
as self-expression. I'm expressing myself. That's the individuation part. You see what I mean? And then it becomes unique. So that I always tell people, there's this thing where Mahler sounds like Mahler in the first symphony.
Oh, really? Like his
All,
first one
you think of it
out the gate?
developing,
Yeah.
which of course it does develop, but when you like, it sounds like Mahler, and it could only be Mahler.
Okay.
It's so unique, right? And the style.
Right.
Well, and so this is the question about, you know, the individuative process, the acorn. How did Mahler know how to sound like Mahler? Even in the first symphony.
Right. Out the gate, just knew.
Well, and you would say he didn't know, of course, couldn't have
Right.
known,
He was just doing
but
what he thought was best.
his own, that's the acorn, right? His own gift, his own way of just being himself is what comes through in the very first time.
Right, because he wasn't trying to be somebody else. He
He
wasn't
was
trying to
not trying,
mimic,
he was not.
Beethoven or whatever. Like he was
Exactly.
just being who he was.
Yes.
And that comes through.
And like a lot of artists, or like I think this individuation thing we were talking about before, is that in general, people hated the first symphony. People walked out of the
What
first,
is this
they
garbage?
hated it. Yeah, they walked out of the
Oh,
performance. They were so aggravated
really?
how much they
Oh,
hated it.
poor Mahler.
Because
Oh.
it was unique,
Different.
different, never been heard before.
Yeah. But I'm sure he had his few fans there that were like, yeah, this is awesome.
But
But most people, yeah.
the urge to individuation, I mean, no, it was a total flop, but he couldn't stop composing. He
Right.
just kept going.
Yeah.
In spite of all criticism, in spite of,
He didn't care what other people thought. He was just going to keep doing it.
well, he had the urge. He had to. I mean, because
He had to.
that's who he is. Like, he's a composer. What is he going to do? He's going to compose. And he's going to feel the best when he's doing his gift, his aptitude. And so he just kept going.
Nice.
And I would say
Good.
that as a writer too. I mean, that's it, you know, why do I write? And I started writing in the fifth grade. You know, I started writing stories in the fifth grade, and I wrote my first novel when I was 12 years old. And again, why? But it's the urge. It wasn't an ego decision. It's like, oh, I think I have a class assignment that I should write a story. I wanted to write. And then once it got started, I just couldn't stop.
Yeah, it was compulsive at that point.
Yeah, and so 68 years later.
Well, I'm sure Mama and Papa are like, why do our, does our kid keep writing all this stuff?
This is a bit of a sidebar, but it is part of this process that is the parent looking for and trying to understand the uniqueness of that child.
And I think we're doing a much better job of that these days than
Well,
we used to.
some people are not doing, I mean, it's
Well, I'm not saying
as a
everyone, but in general.
many parents have, my child should be this way. My child should
Yeah.
do this, my child should do that, and they're very invested in getting the child, in a way,
Right.
to fulfill their own unlived lives. And
Yeah.
that's a good way to make somebody neurotic, basically.
Rather just embracing whatever your
And
child's
see,
good at.
because that's not the path of individuation for the child. You're looking for
The child, yeah.
the uniqueness of that child. And so, yes, my parents noticed I was writing all the time, and unasked for, they got me a typewriter on my 12th birthday.
They did.
Yes,
Oh, that's really sweet.
it is really. I mean, I hadn't thought about it for 50 years, but when I was writing the book, I'm like, yeah, they were honoring my gift by
They
giving me
were.
what 12-year-old, gets a
A
typewriter
typewriter,
as a
yeah.
birthday present, but I did. And that's why I wrote my first novel. I got the typewriter and I just took off and went up in the attic. See, there's the cave where I was
The
totally
cave, yeah.
alone away from everybody else. And
Always had a cave, yeah.
I wrote a 75-page novel, typed as it should be.
Wow. Do you still
Typed.
have it somewhere?
I do indeed have it.
Oh.
I have that.
Interested to know what 12-year-old you wrote.
Well, it's like a novel a 12-year-old would write. So
Right?
I don't think of that as my first novel because it's pretty terrible. But I
You have to
did
start somewhere.
send it off to Scholastic Books.
You did. What did they
Yes.
say to
With
you?
a query letter and everything. I wrote this book. I wish you would publish it. It's a very good book. I got a letter back that was very complimentary,
Oh,
encouraging me to keep writing. Yes,
that's
some
very sweet.
sweet person there
Oh, it took the time
sort
to
of
answer this 12-year-old.
understood that moment in my life and did that. And I think that's when there are people in your life who foster individuation, it's really helpful. Like as opposed to many people, your friends, my friends, other people, their experience in life is that their parents, other people are trying to put them down, not
Yeah, right. Why are you writing? You're going to be a doctor someday, like all that
they're
stuff, right? Yeah.
right.
Yeah. And the kid's like, I just want to write.
Why do you dress like that? Why do you do that to your hair? Stop doing that.
I'm really glad you and mom never did that Instead of a typewriter, I picked up a box of hair dye,
It would
right?
have been a losing battle anyway,
Yeah, I know. But
because
you
you
guys fostered my painting too. You guys sent me
same.
to art classes since I
Yeah,
was
well,
in
that's
second grade.
because you have the gift. See what I mean? That's part of your uniqueness. And so, whatever individuation is, I mean, that's part of it, is that how do you grow your own uniqueness year after year, decade after decade, until you become this character that is unique, a very unique kind of character, as in, yeah, I've never met anybody like this before, this person. And it's true.
It's true, yeah.
And then, so how do you integrate that, put it all together? So it's the opus. If you're in the process of individuation, you can't help but have self-expression.
Yeah, that makes
You're
sense.
expressing yourself, again, in whatever medium. It could be in writing, it could be in music, it could be in art. I mean, whatever is your gift that you can't, the urge to you can't
Right,
st
right.
stop yourself. And then Jung's definition of the opus is the work that comes out of yourself.
I like that twist
So
that it, yeah,
you
it comes
you
out from yourself.
right. So you would say there is no outer compulsion.
Yeah,
So
so it's not like the job that you're doing for to make money. It's the work that you do solely for yourself. And I like that distinction.
because it just keeps pouring out of you and you can't stop it. from pouring out of you. So you would say a very inner directed person instead of an outer directed person. That's what the opus is. And then in the book, I had to get to like the examples. Okay, like, no, not everybody is going to write a symphony like Mahler, or write great novels like John Steinbeck, and that very regular, normal people also feel this urge and create something as the statement of my life that is then, as you get older, you're not old enough yet, but the concern for legacy is again a natural process. And again, it comes as an urge. Who I am, what I have lived, needs to be expressed and given form and passed on. And I want to pass it on. And then out of that urge comes the libido to work so hard on that project, that opus.
The passion
The
comes
path
in.
to complete it, like, no, it has to be done. I have to finish this. I have to. See, there's the urge, and that's what the opus is like. So, I mean, that when I really stopped and think about it, I thought of my own grandparents.
Which ones?
All four of them,
Oh, okay.
each in their own way, had an opus, and that was an aspect of them individuating as far as they could. And so, for instance, my mother's father on my mother's side, who was started as a coal miner, it ended up as a welder,
But he had a farm too, right?
and he had the farm at the end, and he was a real character.
Vague memories of him as a child.
Almost like they don't make people like him anymore. He was such a character and very powerful as just a powerful, I don't mean in any outer way, just as a person in his presence. It was a bit intimidating. He was so powerful. What was his opus? See what I mean? Okay.
I don't know.
His opus was the farm.
It was. Okay.
Right.
That was my
50,
question.
55 acres in West, or it took me 50 years to realize this, that he started life, right? His parents, his father, was a sharecropper. And see, again, we hardly have sharecroppers anymore. You don't even know what that, and that means that you're living on somebody else's land in somebody else's house in which you farm. And then you give a percentage of whatever you grow back to the owner. But you don't even own your own land. You don't even
Land.
own, and because they were that poor, I mean, they didn't own it. And so you see, his subjective meaning, his opus was he became a landowner.
Exactly. Yeah, full circle kind of thing.
Right. And that he worked and worked and worked. And then, that farm was nothing when he started. And I
Did the whole thing.
kind of like your mom, he terraformed the land into, and he poured his work into it. I mean, he worked and he worked and he worked and he worked. And then he could sit on his porch in his rocking chair and look out over his opus, over
Over
what
his land.
he had created himself individually, and want to pass that along. So you see, the farm was his
His opus.
opus and his greatest achievement in life to him personally. It's like
Well, yeah, but that's all that matters, right?
that's
In the
what
end.
matters. Okay. Now, my grandmother, his wife, before they got divorced, long story. She wrote poems.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Grandma Q wrote poems,
Do
and
you have some of them? I'd love to read them.
somewhere I may have one, because the usual stuff when you're a young person who's immature.
Just throw them out.
My mother kept sending me these poems, and things from my
Oh,
grandmother,
from grandma,
because she was like, "Oh, you're a writer, and see,
She made that connection,
your
yeah.
grandmother is a writer, and see, you should read what she's writing."
Right, and you were a young kid. You were like,
I was in my 20s and my 30s,
Yeah.
did not appreciate it.
But now it's like,
Because,
oh, I should have
what
saved those.
just very amateurish poems, let us say.
Sure, but I'm sure you had
From,
a flair.
a lady with absolutely no education at all, and so forth. And yet she was expressing her feelings and writing about things. I do, there was one poem called The Silver Bridge. And you kind of have to be from West Virginia to know that was the bridge collapse in Point Pleasant.
Oh, right.
Not, now of
Mothman.
Mothman fame.
Yes.
I believe it was in 66, and she wrote a poem about the Silver Bridge, and my mother gave it to me and said, "Look at this, isn't this great?" And but you see, that was her opus.
Right.
She's completely
Writing poems.
completely uneducated, had no training, never studied poems.
But she felt the urge to do it.
Probably couldn't read poems. I mean, I don't know, but she felt the urge to do it, and she did it her whole life. And then, all right, back to my other side, my father's side. My grandmother was a seamstress. In addition, I mean, she never worked outside the home, but she built her own seamstress business, from a room in the house, and would sew things for people, and was, a master. I mean,
Yeah, she was really good.
really, really good. And she made quilts too. And then when she got to a certain age, she was really making quilts and making sure that all of the grandkids got quilts.
Because so that you would have something to remember her by.
Again, being immature,
You don't have it anymore.
like, what am I gonna do with this quilt?
Oh
See, it's terrible. It's terrible.
no.
Because I did not understand what
The
it
meaning of
meant
it.
it to her. She's like, this is me. This is me. This is my life. This is what I have learned. It's all here.
I'm sure it was gorgeous too.
And you have to preserve this. You have to save this. You have to remember this and me. And when you get old enough, you will feel all of those things. So her opus was quilts,
Quilts.
and the things that she did. I even remember, I was going to college. I was putting myself through college. She made a quilt. I just, when I'm home from college, go to her house. Here's a quilt. You should sell this to make money to go to college. She's
She
trying to
told,
trying to
really?
help, and I'm, Grandma,
Oh,
not like,
the
no,
only way
no.
that she know how,
You're
yeah.
right, Grandma. I am not going to sell your
Oh.
quilt.
That was really sweet of her.
I may be poor, but I'm not that poor. I'm not going to sell your quilt to make money. No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And then her husband, my grandfather, which again, I did not understand. Well, because you have to be mature enough to understand people's lives. You see what I mean? That he was into ham radio and shortwave radio his whole life.
Him and Pop-Out have that in common.
And he had a shack out behind the house, between the house and the garage, sort of 6 feet by 8 feet. And he was an electrician. So he had all of his stuff in the shack, the radio stuff and anything he would need to wire something, and he was always out in the shack. I would go to my grandparents' house when I was a teenager and so forth, like, "Oh, where's Grandpa? He's out in the shack." He was
He
always
got his
out.
own cave.
That was,
His
yes,
cave.
it was.
Us introverts need our
It's
caves.
where he went. Okay. So I remember very clearly several times he had the shortwave radio, or one, he had many, but one was in his bedroom. And he would take me upstairs, And then with his 7.5 fingers, Grapple had 7.5 fingers.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know
He was a railroad man, and all railroad men I met lost
that.
fingers.
He lost fingers. Oh.
Speaking of a dangerous occupation,
Yeah.
he adapted. He didn't even think
Right.
about it. So
Yeah.
with his he's tuning this shortwave radio and trying to tell me about frequencies and then to, tunes it in and you can hear something, and he said, this broadcast is from Germany. Like this
Ooh,
radio,
okay.
we're like, do you understand? Like this is Germany, and we can tune in, and this is from South America, and
Wow.
I didn't understand.
Yeah, you're like, so what?
Yes, exactly. I didn't
Oh.
get it. He was trying to share that with himself, with his grandchild, so that I would
That's
understand
tough.
something about him. See, that's the opus, the legacy part.
Yeah, I see that.
And I was too young to understand, but I just use that as an example. Right. You don't have to write a great symphony for that to be an opus or a great novel. It can be a farm, it can be quilts, it can be amateur poems, it can be shortwave radio.
It could be anything, yeah.
But it's that sense of subjective value. This is important to me. And then you become a character that you're doing things that nobody else is. Like, oh, okay,
That's his thing,
I'm
right?
not into this. Yeah, this is your thing, obviously. I can see that, but you got it. That's what it is. You become yourself, you will be doing your thing.
Exactly.
Right
And
now.
there's no deviating. You try and do something else and
But it's
you
the
always come
acorn.
back to
It's
it.
the
Yeah,
it,
exactly.
it is what is there from the beginning. It was always there. So whatever this capacity, radio, it's kind of an engineering capacity, let's say, or aptitude is the word I like to use. And my grandmother's and my other grandfather too. I mean, they had the aptitude for doing what they were doing. And then the idea is that when you're fulfilling your own aptitudes, you just develop and develop and develop, right? You get better and better the more you do it. And especially now you've been doing it an entire lifetime. How good do you think
Exactly.
you get to be?
The skills that you pick up over time, yeah, in the practice.
But because it's an aptitude, it's again the work that comes from inside. It's fulfilling, and you have this surge of libido because you're doing what you were built to do. Like your brain works this way. Yes, go do that. You were built to do this.
I
Do
see.
it.
Yeah, I
Do
see
it.
some things online very frequently that are about reset and stuff. Like, go back to what you enjoyed as a child. I see that a
Exactly.
lot.
The aptitudes come out in childhood. And
And then we
again,
get sent to public school and
and which
it gets washed out of us.
you have to conform. Right. Right. So if you're that kind of parent who is looking for the uniqueness of your own child, you will see those aptitudes. Nobody has one aptitude. It's more than one, but it's not a large number. I think, I always say it's less than 10. So it's four or five or six aptitudes.
Things, yeah, that you're
And
really good at.
it takes an entire lifetime to give time and space to all of them. Like I have an aptitude for writing.
Yeah, obviously.
I have an aptitude for music. Like I'm a natural born musician. I'm a brilliant musician because as a child, I understood music theory without thinking about it. It
Which
just,
that was not one
well,
of my strong points.
it's like, of course, that makes perfect sense. Of course, it makes sense, right? It's the minor third that makes a minor chord. Of course it is. Has to
Yeah.
be. Has to
Well,
be.
it's
But
over my head.
that's what I'm saying. So, but as a kid, I didn't know the words for it.
But you just heard it and you're like, oh,
And
that makes
I
sense.
knew it. And again, that's the acorn. It's like you can't teach that.
Right. If you
You're e
try as hard as you want, but if you can't understand the chords and the way they go together, you're never going to be able to make music.
you're just born with it. See what I mean?
That makes sense.
And yes, you can learn things, but that's the ego, right? You have to pu push yourself to learn
Oh, I'm
more.
going to be a rock star.
I would say, we keep going back to you and calculus,
Oh,
right?
geez. Yeah. No, thank
No,
you.
you don't have a
Don't.
gift for
Don't.
calculus. Okay,
Oh.
some people do.
They do. Yeah. I was thinking before while you were talking about there are some people who are just like mathematics, astrophysics.
In the book I had in grad school, I mean, there's a list somewhere of there are 220 different aptitudes.
Really? Wow.
Right,
That's cool.
which I think of as brain glitches. I mean, that's what it is. It's like your brain works this way.
It just knows the pattern recognition, basically. It knows how to do
And
it.
then, like everything with genetic glitches, right? It's that, well, in some environments, that's a detriment, that glitch. But in other environments, it's an advantage. It has an evolutionary advantage, and it just depends on the environment.
Well, and we all can't be the same. I mean, that would be
Well,
boring.
and again, we're not 220
And
plus.
that's why,
It's not just one, it's a combination, so let's say I
exactly.
have four aptitudes that all combine into one person.
Right.
That's the
That's very
uniqueness,
unique. And yet
right?
our public education system tries to teach us all the same way, which is infuriating to me. But I can really see how that, if we really implemented this on a much wider level, how much nicer I think our society would be if we could really just embrace people's individuations.
I would, now we're back to our episode on, the four functions of myth with Joseph Campbell. I mean, I don't know. There has to be the sociological function. That's what school would be. And to teach you, this is our society. This is how it works. This is what's good. This is what's bad. This is how you have to be to be a part of this society. I mean, that mythic function, it has to happen. There have been attempts, as in you went to Montessori. I mean,
I did.
Montessori is an educational philosophy that has a goal of doing this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like
I love Montessori.
recognizing the uniqueness of each child, and then, oh, okay. And then it's the natural process, trusting nature. It's like if this child wants to spend all day painting,
Then let
okay.
them.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Let them do it. I love
Right?
that. I
It's like
wish more schools were like that.
nature will fill out and all
Everything
the, it'll
else,
all
yeah.
come. It'll all come. So it's more of a trusting of the unfolding of the acorn. It's like it's all there. It'll unfold. You can't force it. And you don't have to force it. You just let
Let it
growth
happen.
do its thing and trust nature. Right. Those are all aspects of individuation. So,
Well, I think
what was your original question?
I'm going over my questions here, and I think we've answered all of them. With this last one here is there a way that we can help this process? Is there a way that we can work with this process, be more conscious about this process? I'm thinking about if there are people listening, they're like, oh, I'm just realizing that this is a thing. What kind of like act, I don't want to say action steps, but I do. Like, how can we work with this with the understanding of like now we've learned about this and how can we be more active with it?
In the first place, this part about living your aptitudes.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then, right, in our society, it is a bit devalued. And so learning not to accept the devaluation of it. We say, well, somebody has hobbies, and isn't it nice to have a hobby? You have a hobby as a writer. That's nice, and
There's a monetary appreciation for everything in our
It
society.
is. It's like if it doesn't make money, then it's useless.
Then
It's point
useless, yeah, which is horrible.
point pointless. And
Yeah.
see that you can change, right? It's that, okay, you're a very fortunate person if you figure out a way to make money from your own aptitudes.
Right.
It's like, hey,
Very fortunate, for sure.
I'm gonna be doing these works anyway, and because I can't stop myself. And if I happen to make a living doing that, well, that is the optimal ideal situation. And most people are not in that situation, that they're doing what they
Exactly.
have to do to pay the bills and make the ends meet, and they're cogs in the machine, man. You know, I mean, at work,
Yeah.
that's all they are,
That's sad.
and that's all it is, a machine. And that's not meaning. That's not purpose.
No. You gotta have your hobby, I guess.
And then to devalue the hobby, see, it's like, no, it's like this, it's a whole lot more than a hobby.
Right. It's the hobby that's keeping you alive
It
in the
is.
machine.
It is. It's like, this is what matters.
Right.
Yes, I
All
have
this
to.
9 to 5 shit, that doesn't
And
matter.
I have to take 9 to 5 and go do my time with the man,
Right.
and then come back and get back to work. Now, okay, are we
Exactly.
done now? Thank you. You know, are we done?
Right.
Thank you, because I got to get back to work.
I
Right?
gotta get back to whatever my process is
I
that I'm
have this
doing.
pa painting to finish. Right? I have this, and
This music to write,
that's my
whatever it is.
work. See, that's my
Yeah.
true work. But it doesn't make money.
Exactly.
But
But that's what really fulfills you in the long run.
you're developing yourself when you're doing that, right? And so let's say you meet a lot of people too who say, I don't know what to do with myself.
Right. That seems to be a very big common thread is I don't like people get so depressed, you know, because they're stuck in the machine
Yeah.
and then they don't know what to do. And that's when you see the things. They're like, well, go back. What did you like to do as a kid? Like, did you like to paint? Did you like to make flower crowns? Like, whatever it is, do that. And that will make you happy. But in the long run, it's just like a band-aid on top of having to work for the machine.
It is, and I would just say at a certain age, more like my age, then with retirement, you get people in the same thing. It's like, if I'm not working, as in out of work, I don't know what to do with myself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
Well, yeah.
you have lost, right, that spark.
The opus, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And in Jungian circles, there's a famous story about a Santre, and I'm trying to think of
Oh,
her, the
Santre.
Santre
For
woman, right?
when
What
people
it?
who don't know, Santres are a
Yeah.
box with sand and you make little designs in them. And it's very
You
telling, right?
and the analyst has like a whole bookshelf full of little figures, little toy figures
Like,
that can be
n anything.
and everything,
Exactly.
right? Like there could, you know,
You used to
animals.
always take all my little McDonald's toys for it.
Animals, which, yes, I did. I took them from the sanctuary because you have, and
Wide range of
I
stuff.
mean, it is like a dream in the sense that you just tell a person, yeah, pick whatever, and I tell whatever has energy for you. Like, don't think about it, just feel the energy. And if you feel like picking up a toy witch, pick up the toy witch. You know, if you feel like picking up a toy elephant, pick up the, you know, just don't think, just see
Just do it.
what feels alive, and then you put it in the sand tray, and then a process starts to happen. It's amazing that then a story develops in the sand
Exactly.
tray about the elephant and the witch. See?
Right.
And something is coming out. Okay, so there, it's on one of the Jungian films. There was a person who did a sand tray that made the sand absolutely flat, flat,
Ooh.
flat, flat, and said,
Wow.
it's concrete.
Oh, okay.
And then, well, what do you feel like? And they picked a flower. And they made a santuary of the flower breaking through the concrete.
Concrete. That's kind of lovely.
Oh, are you kidding? It's stagger. It's staggering. Okay? It is a beautiful image. See, these people we were talking about, that they're covered in concrete.
They've suppressed everything for so long that they don't even know.
But the power of the acorn, or the urge to individuation, is so strong, it can break through concrete.
I love that.
See? And again, that's trusting nature. It's like,
It's gonna happen. Yeah, either way.
if you give that acorn the slightest chance to grow,
It's just gonna break through.
and then you get nature finds a way, right?
I love
Nature
that phrase. Yeah,
finds
nature
a
finds a
way.
way.
So yes, if a person is feeling depressed, if a person is feeling like my life is absolutely meaningless, you know, I get up every morning and I work in retail and I go in and I do stuff and then I come home and then I don't know what to do when I come home, so I play video games or, you know, I mean, whatever. It's still there underneath the concrete. It's still alive. And so yes, if as a practice you say, well, I don't know what I liked as a kid. I mean, I don't know. I liked to play basketball when I was a kid. And then you say, fine,
Sure, go play basketball.
go play basketball. Well, that's stupid. You know,
Well,
I
no, it's not,
see.
right? It's not.
If
No,
you
that's,
allow that little space, then you never know what's going to grow up through the
Out of it.
concrete. Yeah. You're just looking for that thing that is alive. And it never dies. No matter how much concrete there is, it never dies in any person. And so that's why, in the long run, I have a lot of hope in that nature finds a way.
Nature finds a way. As a society, we will go through an individuation process.
That's a whole other ball game for another
Another podcast. Yeah.
podcast.
Don't even start that now. Okay. Well, before we wrap up, do you have anything else that you want to make sure we know here for our individuation baseline?
I think it's trust in nature. Nature finds a way. So you individuation is just about getting out of the way of growth and letting it happen.
I think there's a trusting in yourself part of that as well. You
Absolutely.
know, just because society says something is stupid or dumb or juvenile doesn't mean that it is.
Right. Right. Why are we wasting our time doing these podcasts?
Because it like fulfills both of us, you
Yes,
know.
that's right.
We're trying to get you to do this for years. I'm
It's
so excited we're doing this.
an opus, right?
It is, and it really fulfills a part of me,
Yeah.
you know.
See?
I love talking about this stuff. You know, if we didn't have other lives to live, we'd be doing this all day, every day.
That's right.
All right. Well, anyway, Dad, thank you so much for covering individuation for us. And I appreciate you doing it. And we'll be back next week with another topic.
That's great. Take care.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation about individuation. And if you want more from me, you can head to my website, queenofcupsapothecary.com. If you want more from Dad, you could head to his YouTube channel, History of Ideas. For more about the show, go to ajungianandawitch.com. Feel free to reach out to us about any questions you have at ajungianandawitch@gmail.com. And thanks again so much for tuning in, and we'll be back with another episode next week.